We desire your prayers this morning. The Lord will bless his word. I would like to start this morning with a few thoughts and some sentences that were in a book. It was written in 1842. It was on the Great Reformation of the 17th century. It was concerning the Reformation in Germany and I think Switzerland, I'm not sure. But there were some things that were written in the first few pages of that book that spoke to me. And so I want to share that as a beginning of our thoughts today. And it was speaking of the coming of Christ. And it said, "This is the greatest event in the annals of all time. The former ages, or before, had been in preparation for it, or they looked forward to it. The latter unroll from it. This event became the center and connecting link." And one writer said, "The gospel suddenly beamed on the earth like a ray of the sun, and a breath of life moved over this vast field of death. A new, a holy people was formed upon the earth." Well, this little reading that I have given you this morning is not anything new to us. But I believe that the writer was trying to say that the coming of Christ in the world was the pivotal point for all of the world and for all of history and for all of time itself. Those that were studying the prophecies, they were looking forward to Christ. And then those of us who are past that, we look back at the power of the cross, the power of salvation, and we reap the benefits of salvation in the blood of Jesus, thank the Lord. But at the same time, from that event and from that point, Satan has had a target, and he has no less of a target today than he did at the time he even tried to destroy Christ. And so his purpose is against all who have embraced that light that was brought into the world, to a field of death. And we are in a time of death today. I'm thinking of the many prophecies of Christ, of the gospel of hope, the gospel of grace. I think about John the Revelator, how that there were many various ages and events that he wrote of in very obscure language. Yet we can look at history itself. It bears a record of those ages and those events. We know there was a time of paganism. Paganism is still alive today. There was a time of apostasy. Apostasy is a part of our world today. And there was a time, according to Revelations, that the church was hidden away in the wilderness. And there was a time also that the Word and the Spirit were in sackcloth and was not as open. But it came back. Light came back. There was a time that history calls the Dark Ages. There was a time of the Age of the Martyrs. According to the history of that, it was in the first 300 years after Christ, and it said that tens of thousands of believing Christians laid down their lives rather than compromise their Christian faith. And certainly we know that there are martyrs today, but maybe not to the extent of the age of the martyrs. Satan had a plan and a purpose. He wanted to crush the church of God or the church in the earth. He wanted to destroy it through martyrdom. And his plan backfired. For history says that the blood of martyrs is, and I could say was, the seed of Christians. The more they gave their lives as a martyr, it became seed, and many more became Christians. So Satan, his plan was to annihilate and to destroy. His plan today is still the same. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. There was an age also, according to Revelation, that there was a black horse and a pale horse with a rider. It had an impact on the world. And it spoke of the rider whose name was Death. And he was also known as the Destroyer because of his terrible mission. But it was a time also when the word was withheld from the people, the common man, those that were not able to read or have access to the word of God. It was believed that the word was only given to the apostles and also to church leaders of that time. And what happened as a result of that period of time was weakness, spiritual weakness, spiritual hunger, death. Death became part of that age. And so since that time, and we're not going to give the whole history of the past, but there have been periods of time called the Great Awakening. And people became once again awakened from the wickedness and the apostasies that took place at that time. And at times there were, during that period of the age, there were thousands of people that would repent and be saved. There were a very large spiritual revivals, not only in Europe and in other countries, but in the United States, in specifically in our New England states, where the pilgrims came, and they came for religious freedom, and there were religious awakenings in that area of our country. And time went on, and there became a cycle of awakening and religious revival, and then a cycle of falling away and apostasies. And that's been the history of the religious world since that time. And it still is happening today. So there were seasons of great revival. There were seasons of great backslidings. Wickedness and evil and ungodliness would prevail. And so that has been part of our history. I want to read a scripture in Zechariah, the 14th chapter, and speak just a little bit concerning that before we move on. Verses 6 and 7 of the 14th chapter. And it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. And it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light." So that is a phase of time also. where it wasn't really light, it wasn't really dark, and yet the prophecy here was that at evening time it would be light. I want to just interject here just a little bit, not necessarily to condemn or to give approval, but I know that there are individuals who like to refer to the Church of God as the Evening Light Saints or the Evening Light Church of God. And I do believe that the word of the Lord has been true. I believe that light has been granted unto the world, and for those that will walk in the light, they will not walk in darkness. I believe that we are in the last age, and whether we count the evening light as being that time or that age, we have to look also at the word of the Lord and the different places that Jesus even gave the parable of the five wise and the five foolish, and that was in Matthew, the 25th chapter, and I just want to read a verse or two from that passage there. Verse 6 says, "And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.'" And then it says that they all rose and they had a space of time. So whatever time we are in this age, we still feel that we are in the last age, according to the prophecies, according to the revelations. And I'm not here to preach on revelations this morning. I'm just inserting here that it appears that all six seals have been opened, that we are awaiting the seventh seal, which would be the end of all things. And so as I think about all of the ages, and I certainly haven't given all of the ages that have occurred and all of the events of history itself, but the element there of Christ coming upon the scene, and those that were looking forward to it, and now you and I looking back to it, it being the pivotal point of all of history, of the history of the church, of the people that are upon the face of the earth, because God said he's not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. That was his purpose. And Satan had a stronghold, and he still has a stronghold today in the lives of many people that have not embraced this light and this salvation. But we need to recognize that we are possibly nearing the midnight hour. And not to say that God is going to come at a literal midnight hour, but I believe that we have gone past somewhat that evening light. It has been presented to us. You and I are privileged to have light and understanding. And all peoples that seek after light and understanding, he said he would give it. If they would ask, he would give it. And so we're not in a time of darkness such as it was before Christ, a land of all death, people under the very spirit of death. But you and I are privileged to live in a time, though it be the last days, though it be dark around us, though according to the scriptures the saints are compassed about with much darkness and wickedness, all of these things, we still can have light. So as I look at the history, just the brief little mentionings of history, the time of the martyrs, the time of the darkness of the world, and the time when the church was in hidden in the wilderness, and all of these things, there was still a people of God. From Christ, he came to present to the world a gospel of salvation. And there were people that embraced it, and that there were people that gave their lives for it. And for every age, I have to say, Lord, what was the message? Would there be a different message in the time of the martyrs? Possibly. There would have been additional things that maybe those that were preaching the gospel might would say. They might would say things like this, count the cost. There was a price that you paid if you gave your heart to Christ, if you claimed Christ as your Savior, and if you chose that, you could give your life for that choice. And so maybe the message would include warning the people to make sure that you count the cost of the decision when you choose Christ. And as there were other periods of time, the Great Reformation, the great Awakenings, maybe those were messages. Well, there were messages that were to awaken the people in their dead state of sin. And we have a message that was preached on hell in that period of time. And it was so effectively given that many people would just fall down in fear and trembling and weeping because they were awakened to their lost need. And we need that message today too. We need to still be awakened to the fact that I haven't made heaven yet. I am still a subject that the enemy could take me to a devil's hell, depending on my choice. So I'm thinking also about from the 1880s. That was a period, an age also. We know the history of the 1880s, and the message of the hour at that time was Babylon the Great is fallen. And the message was, come out of her, my people. And the message was of sectism, and its forms were exposed, and hypocrisy was exposed, and there was a great movement of that time, and across our land and in other parts of the world, there was revival. And then it fell back into division and apostasy. And so since the 1880s, we still have the same cycle of conditions of some that are embracing the truth and the light and salvation and the gospel, and some who are turning their back and taking on a form of godliness. This is the greatest danger of our age. It is so easy to take on just a form of godliness. And so that's one of the messages of our hour. There is a message of the hour that I believe was probably effective even in all other ages. It's a simple, simple message. And I believe that, I want to read another scripture in Amos, the 8th chapter and verse 11 first. And I think that this identifies our age, but I think that it identified the periods of falling away down through the ages of time. And it says that, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not of bread nor of a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That is the key. It is the key for our age. It was the key for all past ages. It became important. Either the word of the Lord became important to them. They embraced it, received it. They applied it. They followed it. Or they neglected to receive it. They turned it away. It was that way down through the ages of time. It is still that way today. And so when we stop and consider the age that we're living in, and we have had many messages. You and I have heard many messages warning us of the end of time. All of our life, we've had the message where there are scoffers that are saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, all things have been the same. And yet we know, we believe, we trust that there is a day that will be the last day, that Jesus will come, and that it will be for a church that is without spot or wrinkle. It will be for a people that have given their hearts and lives. Even though we may not have faced the firing squad, we may not have faced the burning at the stake or being thrown to the lions, we may not have faced all of those things, but we have made our choices. And we have chosen to go the way of the Lord. And this age holds within it, according to the Word of God, many identifying marks that we can know what we're facing. And we have to look at it and read it and hear it and allow it to help us to be ready and prepared. So we have a scripture, and this passage says that we can identify this age by the people. And it says men will be lovers of their own selves. I'm just going to run through this. I'm not going to preach on each of these items, but I want our minds to be alert to them. There's going to be people that are covetous and proud and unthankful and unholy. There's going to be people without natural affection. And there's going to be despisers of those that are good. And there are going to be traitors and people that are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I'm not giving all of them. I'm just giving you a few. And there are going to be those that will take on just a form of godliness. It also says that this age is going to be identified by people calling good evil and evil good. And I want to read a scripture now over in 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, and look at verses 3 through 6. And it says, be instant in season, verse 2, out of season, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And that passage right there tells me that we are in that time, that people are not really interested in coming and hearing the Word of God preached in its fullness and its purity and its power. The Word of the Lord does not, God has no purpose to entertain us, to cause us to be comfortable in the place that we are. He sends his word. He wants his word to bring spiritual conviction. He wants his word to awaken each one of us for where we stand individually before him. And so then the word also says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Anything that will entertain, any little stories. You've heard me say that when I first was called to the ministry and I was working here at the school and the mail that came here to the church was a packet came one day that was an advertisement for all of these volumes of messages that any minister could buy these set of books, and they even sent a sample of a message. And it was all in outline order. It was had all of the stories that would fit into this particular thought. I looked at that and I said, oh, how easy. I want to tell you, when it's man's way, it's not God's way. And I dropped that thing in the trash and I turned my back on that offer. Because if the message does not come from God, it is empty. It is void. It is void of the Spirit. The scripture calls it sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It just has a tinkle. If I could give you all some stories this morning and cause you to get to laughing and you'd leave and you'd say, oh, that just was so good. But if you can get the seriousness of the Word of God and recognize where you are in life, what age we're living in, what is the message of the hour, what was the message of all of those other ages, all of those messages came from God and not man. Lord, help us to seek after the Word and the Spirit and allow it to find lodging in our hearts, as was said in the prayer this morning. It said, Lord, let it hide your words. Let us hide your words in our heart that we might not sin against thee. Thank the Lord. And so then the other passage here, they turn away their ears and it says, but here's the message. Watch. Watch thou in all things. That's the message. That's the message to the people of God. That's the message to the church of God and the saints of God. And it was the message of all past ages. No doubt there were ministers that spoke to those that were in hiding, those that were in the catacombs. They would say, be careful. Watch, there's a plan to destroy your soul. And that's the message this morning. Watch. Watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. And then it says, Paul said, I am now ready. And that's what the Lord is wanting his people to be ready for the hour when you think not the Son of Man will come. We know not the day or the hour. Only God knows the day and the hour. But it will come. So the message of the hour this morning, the rest of our thoughts are going to be on the message of the hour. The message of the hour is watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. You and I are compassed about with much darkness and wicked and evil and thoughts and philosophies and all different spirits that are angry, spirits that are hateful, spirits that despise people, spirits that are trying to destroy people's reputations, whoever that is. And the second part of our message of the hour is in the scripture that says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Watching and praying and overcoming is the work of the hour. We are not faced, oftentimes I've heard it in our prayer here in the congregation on Wednesday night and various other services, and these words will be said, Lord, we thank you that we are not living in a country where we're fearful of coming and worshiping together. And we're not. We're not afraid that there's going to be some policemen come and with their weapons come in and make us all leave. We're not there. We're not living in a time where we're fearing for our lives. But there is something you and I must fear. We must fear losing our soul. Yes. In this time of so much liberal thinking, and I'm not talking politically. Listen, the saints don't really need to be involved in the political. We must give ourselves to the spiritual realm, because it is our soul that is going to face the judgment. And I must take my soul very seriously. It's in my hands. The scripture says it. One of these verses up here says, my soul is continually in my hand. And so these two thoughts we're going to present to us this morning. Definitely we need to watch for sin in our life. For the enemy that would plant seeds of sin, we need to watch and pray. We need to shun every avenue of sin that's in the, that's what one of the songs says, shun every avenue of sin. We must strive to live above sin in this world by the power of God, by the grace of God. And it is only by the grace and power of God that you and I are able to live free from sin. Thank the Lord. But to be an overcomer, it's going to take something. And we can overcome. We have some songs in our hymnal about overcoming. And I want to give you just some phrases from our songbook, because there are not a lot of scriptures on overcoming, but there are some. But some of the songs are power to overcome he gives us. Someone wrote those, penned those words because they understood what overcoming meant. Now, what does it mean to overcome? Overcome has a special place in our walk with the Lord, because it is when we are victorious, when we prevail. We prevail over sin, we prevail over self, and we prevail over Satan. He is still in the world. He is still the enemy of your soul and my soul. To overcome is to conquer in every conflict. Now, we are going to face conflicts. It doesn't matter that we're living in a world that seems peaceable to a degree. The word of the Lord tells us we have prayed that way. You may have prayed that way. Lord, help us to live a quiet and a peaceful life. He said for us to pray that way. We're thankful that we're in a time of peace. We're in a time of prosperity. It is somewhat different from all of the ages of the past, when people may have starved even physically, that didn't have enough to eat. But I want to tell you that for us to have our cupboards full and live in peace, live in our houses, have our cars, live in a world that is seemingly prosperous everywhere we look, my soul can pay a price. It is the tribulations many times that puts us on our knees. And you and I will have to go to our knees without tribulation if necessary. There is a song that Lauren and I have sang, and it speaks about my valleys just bring me to my knees. Well, We sometimes compare mountaintop experiences, and we sometimes call valleys the hard places, but you know it can be either one. It takes something to get to the mountaintop, and it takes something to go down into the valleys. It takes something to be awake and alert at all times and watching and praying at all times and going to your knees even when you're not in tribulation. Don't forget to take time for your soul in the midst of a prosperous world. It's your soul that's going to pay the price. So to overcome is to be victorious. And then one definition says overcoming, or this is a portion of a song rather, overcoming daily with the spirit sword. Every day is going to take overcoming to see the end of your life and hear the words, "Come, my blessed." One portion of a song says, "We overcome through Jesus Christ." Don't ever lose that thought and belief and dependency upon Jesus Christ. He is the one. He was that pivotal point. He changed all of history and time and people. And he must be that pivotal point in your life too, and to help you to overcome. "And you shall overcome if you watch and pray" is another one. And then there was a portion of one that said that we must overcome the world. Jesus said that you and I are in the world, but we must not be of the world. It spoke of us as being strangers and pilgrims in this world. We have our houses, we have our neighbors, we have our jobs, we go to school, we go to the market, we go to the shops and all of this, and we are in the world, but let us not be of it. Let us not embrace any of the spirits of the world. We're in the last age. So we are to overcome. I have a few thoughts that has been impressed upon my mind. That we need to watch and pray. So what do we need to watch and what do we need to overcome? The number one answer to that question, to those questions, is me. And I want to say it's good for us to follow those that follow Christ. But it's better for you to get your eyes off of people. Following those that are following Christ is safe. But following those that are not following Christ can be deceptive. So I need to watch me. I need to pray for me. I need to watch and pray for my thoughts, my attitude, my feelings. I need to pray for my heart. Why do I need to pray for my heart? Because the scripture says, out of it are the issues of life. It's what I allow in my heart. Attitudes can affect my heart. Feelings, hurts, wounds. I need to overcome those things. Now, there is one point of overcoming that is very important that we use it, and that is resisting the devil, because he is at the back of anything. Remember, he has a plan that is extending to you and me. It was there all down through the ages of history, working its work, and he did it this way, and then he changed, and he did it this way, and now he's working in this way Because he knows if you and I can become unforgiving, that we will not be forgiven. And so he wants hurts and wounds to come into our lives that we can't forgive. We must guard our heart. We must resist the devil. The devil is behind all wounds, offenses, hurts, disappointments. He's doing something with that. And the scripture says, and we can claim the promise and live by it, that if you resist the devil, he will flee. We must have faith that God will lift up a standard against the powers of Satan when he comes in like a flood. And he will come in like a flood in your life from time to time. And we have to recognize who it is and what his purpose is and how it is affecting me. Go before the Lord. Oh, I cannot stress it enough. Open yourself up to God and say, Lord, search me. Try me. See if there is any wicked way in me. Listen for his still small voice. He will show it to us. Don't resist it. Lauren was talking about the reproof. What did you say? The reproof. The reproof of life. God uses the reproofs of life, the events of life, to get our attention. And it's not been very long ago. We just had a message on how God was doing everything he can, to help the people of the world and the people of the church to make heaven. It's his desire. We need to watch our tongue. We need to be careful about the thoughts that we allow in our heart and our mind, because it will come out of our mouth. If we have entertained criticizing remarks or feelings or thoughts about somebody else, there will be an opportunity. The enemy will make sure it will happen, that you can speak those words. Oh, Lord, help us. Let us watch our words. Let us watch and examine our purpose. Remember, the scripture said that he is a discerner of our thoughts and the intentions of our heart, and that he knows, even if we don't admit it, he knows it. And so the scripture speaks about backbiting. Oh, it will not stand at the judgment. Watch your feelings and your words and your attitudes. We're not facing the firing squad, but we're facing something that could be just as dangerous. These things are every day in our everyday life. We face them. Lord, help us. You know, David said in one place, he said, it wasn't my enemy out there that hurt me, but it was the one that I went to the house of the Lord with. Who's that? The saints, the people of God. They can sometimes, the enemy can take them and cause wounds and hurts, and it can cost you your soul. Is it worth it? If the word of the Lord says, if you gain the whole world and then lose your soul, what good is it? I'm going to connect that up with wounds and offenses and hurts. If you give in to the wounds and offenses and hurts, what good is it? It's not good. But God has power for you and me to overcome. And how does he do it? By the blood of the Lamb. Plead the blood. I've told this before, but my father, he was a good man, but He held grudges. I want to tell you, if you hold a grudge, you're not going to make heaven. So when he knew he was dying, he had liver cancer. And you know, he called it his list. It wasn't written down, but it was in his heart and mind. And he'd say to Mother, call so-and-so. People in the town, they're on my list. And he would weep and ask their forgiveness. And they would, most of the time, they would be crying too. I don't know how many he did that before he gave his heart to the Lord and got saved. And I believe my father is in heaven today, but he had to turn loose of every grudge. Everything of the past, he had to turn it loose. And God helped him to overcome, and God will help you and me overcome these hurtful places if we let him. But we have to let him overcome. This one is on the other side of the coin. We all know what it is to be offended. But what if we have been the offender? We need to be honest with our own soul. If we have offended someone else, let's face it. The scripture says there is a woe that is pronounced upon those that offend one of his little ones. It says it would be better for that person if they had a stone hung around their neck and cast into the sea. Now that sounds pretty bad, but I want to tell you, let's have the love of God in our hearts flowing for one another and for all of mankind. The love of God will cover a multitude of sins, the scripture says. When you and I love one another, we're not going to be so apt to offend each other. So let's watch. Let's overcome. What are we overcoming there? We're overcoming by the love of God. Thank the Lord. So let's see. Oh, we need to watch the little foxes. The little things. And when I'm saying little foxes, I'm saying those little things that you might say, oh, this is not important. And yet, in God's eyes, it's important. And did you know that he deals with each of us individually? He deals with mankind in a collective way. He deals with the church of God in a collective way, but it comes down to just me and God sometimes. And he sees my heart. He knows my characteristics, my makeup, he knows my personality, and he knows what little thing will hinder me in making heaven. Might not affect you at all. We need the one-on-one relationship. Ask the Lord, Lord, give me an honest heart. Help me to be honest with my own soul. Help me to be honest with you. If we're honest with God and we're honest with our own soul, we'll be honest with other people. So watch out for the little things. Watch and pray. Lord, search me. Help me. Help me to see myself like you see me. And he'll begin to work in that way. And he will send little things into your life, and you'll be able to see yourself. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing when God deals with us for eternity. There's another scripture we need to watch about. And it says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. You're going to feel wrath sometimes. You're going to be disturbed. Are you going to have passions that you really are not proud of? I have. What do we do with it? Are we going to say, well, that's just how my family was. I can't help it. I was born that way. No. Listen to the still small voice that is saying, I want you to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Plead the blood. Plead the blood over that thing that seems like a stronghold. He'll give you weapons of warfare that are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds in your life. Thank the Lord. And then watch the tone of your voice. When you're dealing with your family, when you're dealing with one another, when you're dealing with, the people of the world and the places that can stir your passion, watch the tone of your voice. Because the scripture says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And it's not so much the other person's wrath, it's your wrath. You're the one that's going to answer to God. So watch. Watch in all things. As we close, I am sure that there are other things that the Lord could bring to your mind. But we must overcome in order to be victorious. And that was the message that was all down through the ages of time, for every age, for the martyrs, for every age. They had to watch and pray, and they had to overcome. And though we're in a time of peace, it seems, we may not literally have peace in the world, but we're not in that time that we're giving our lives. But we need to watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And we need to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. There is a song that we have that might be somewhat monotonous in some ways. And it's, the title of it is, Be an Overcomer. And every verse starts out with that commandment. Be you. You is the subject. You be an overcomer. And it says, only cowards yield. When the foe they meet on the battlefield, we are blood-bought princes of the royal host and must falter not, nor desert our post. Be an overcomer. He who stands with you is a mighty one who is always true. In the sorest conflict, you shall win the day. Face the legions dark till they flee away. You are heaven's heir and a crown of life you may ever wear. So with courage, press the battle to the gates till you gain the prize which in heaven waits. Be an overcomer. Forward, boldly go. I think that's really what we want to leave with us this morning, is that we will all be an overcomer and forward, boldly go. Amen. The chorus is the part that made me, I nearly always can run out of breath because we're holding the word so long. The word overcome. Overcome. In Jehovah's might, put the foe to flight. And the victor's crown ye shall wear at last. I want to wear that crown, don't you? Yes. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.